So blessed this morning just to be able to celebrate motherhood, to be able to celebrate everything that makes moms special. And just selected, there's so much we could talk about when it comes to moms, but I picked just a couple of the things about moms that I think are so much like Jesus. And I think it's directly taken from the nature of who God is in the person of Jesus Christ. And there's a couple of things about moms that are just important for us to highlight right now. And one is they understand the value of that new life. There's something about birth, and there's something about having another person live inside you for a while. When it finally comes to breathe air, there's just this, there's an understanding of how much went into the miracle of a new life is now breathing air on planet Earth. A new human being with its own personality, with their own ways of doing things, ways of thinking, their own humor, all the stuff that they're going to become already is inside them. And it's just beautiful to see how moms have a way of connecting with that in a way that I believe reveals a part of who God is, and that He is, well, He's our Father, but He has a very motherly part of Him. In fact, if you want to look at a scripture just to validate that, in Matthew 23:37, Jesus actually refers to a mother hen. He gives the mother hen as an illustration to demonstrate how He felt about Jerusalem. He says that, "How often I wanted to gather your children together," talking about the children of Jerusalem, "the same way that a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing." There's a gathering part in the nature of who God is. There's a, "I'll leave 99 to go out and find the one lost sheep." That's the way that a mom thinks. A mom understands the value, and therefore she wants no one lost. When there's a family holiday, the best way you can bless mom is to make sure that everybody's there. Because moms have that mother hen. And Jesus used that to describe the element of how He felt about His people, His church. He wasn't afraid to call Himself a mother hen, a mother chicken, in the way that she wants, doesn't want one of them picked off by a hawk. Wanted them all underneath, all protected in the place that only He can provide protection is when we're close to Him and we agree to follow what He has for us to do. The other thing is that moms are committed to a process. Moms are not just interested in the big. They love when we hit a home run or when we do something great at school or when there's an award given. They'll celebrate that with us, but they're way more interested in the whole process. They want to know that my son's not just okay for this moment in time when he had this amazing event, but they're already thinking of what's the next challenge they're going to face. They're already trying to prepare them for the next thing in life that they're going to have to press through or overcome. It's the way that moms think. They're continually engaged in the process of life. And I think the Holy Spirit is very much the same. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is very much interested in taking us from glory to glory. We had an amazing service here on Wednesday night, our United service, and we sang a song about just going from glory to glory, that in God's presence, as children of His, He's looking to mature us. Yeah. You know that it's the mature of a species that understand the value of their offspring. Kids don't always treat each other with value, right? They don't understand. They'll trash each other with their words. They're mean towards each other. They don't understand the value that they each represent. But parents, the mature of a species, should always be able to recognize that sometimes their life is laid down so that because the value they see in their offspring is so high that they see it as more valuable than their own life. And we see that in Jesus, obviously, that He did not consider it his life more valuable than the possibility of getting access to our own hearts and our own lives. So therefore, He laid down His own life for us. And I just want to read a scripture because I think it helps us see that this process is something that we're all going through. And on Mother's Day, I want to just realize that God sees life as a process for us. It has a very clear beginning when we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. There's a moment in time where we're moved from death to life. When the new seed, the new DNA of our spirit is reborn, we are regenerated. We have been transformed, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. All these realities are true in a moment, but then there's the growth that has to happen. There's the maturing that happens. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, I'm just going to read straight through it, and it just talks about so much of what the church actually is. And it says, "He Himself," capital H's, that means it's God, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying," or the building up, "of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." If we're born of Christ, we're going to grow into Christ. If the seed that's within us is incorruptible because he's incorruptible, then that's who we're growing into, right? It's just the plant is going to become, for those that are putting seeds in the ground now, you know, you just look at the package, you know what's going to come from the seed. So you don't have to guess. I hope this pea actually produces a pea plant and not a tomato plant. If that happens, then someone put the wrong seeds in the wrong packages, because every seed reproduces after its kind. The seed of Christ in our hearts is what's going to be produced in us should we choose to continue to walk by faith, embracing the ministry and the provision that God has provided through these church offices of leadership. And the purpose of us growing into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ is this, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, the big dilemma I see with social media and with the news even is that they can swing an entire nation of people from one way to the next just over a couple weeks of propaganda and telling us to believe a certain thing. They can do it, and they've proven they can do it, and therefore it's just a matter of time before there's a majority of people that are following that dangling thing, and then we're hypnotized into wherever they want us to go. And it's because there's a childish nature, a selfish nature that's been allowed to creep up in America, where we don't actually raise children to the age of 18, and you can go serve your country, you can go to school, you can go out, but here you go, there's your life, go get them. We're parenting people in their 30s and 40s sometimes, and sometimes beyond that, and it's wrong. A real mom would not want that for her child. A real mom knows. The mothering part of our Heavenly Father knows there's a time when to fully mature, you've got to go and carve your path. You've got to go and make it happen. The seed that's in you, the investment that we've made is secure. We're confident in that enough to the degree that here you go. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to think you're flying and you're going to hit the ground. All that stuff, God's going to lift you up and take you through that. And should you need a hug or an encouraging word, we're always there for you. But guess what? There's only a certain amount of growth and maturing that we can ever experience, especially in our own personal spiritual faith, until we allow God to be the one that we're calling out to, and not just blowing up Facebook, and not just blowing up our friends' stuff, and not just spreading stuff out there, thinking that somewhere out there, I'm going to find the maturity and the essence of strength that God wants to be in me and to me and through me. It's not going to come from out there. It's great to get a hug. It's great to get an encouragement. It's great to have somebody speak truth to your life. But at the end of the day, every mom wants to know that her son knows God. Every Christian mom must know that my son, if I'm not here, I know that I'm confident in what's in him. He can connect. She can connect with God for themselves. That's the highest level of maturity that I pray for all of my children. I know my parents prayed for us. That our children would personally know, as young men and young women, that they can connect with their Heavenly Father. No longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, with every changing, shifting thing that's going to supposedly fix everything. The next miracle pill, the next only sold on TV utensil that you're going to get that's going to just make your life. You know, computers were supposed to do that for us. They said the work week was going to go down to around 20 hours after about a decade of having computers developed to where they were going to get to, because they were going to just take over so much of what we were doing and wasting our time with simplistic means. It was going to just make everything more sophisticated, and we were going to be able to just chill out and relax and make the same money, have even greater life. And look what's happened. We're just more enslaved now because of the devices that we can have with us all the time. We're continually trying to fix everything. And sometimes we just have to be still and know that He is God. We got to just tune that stuff out and allow Him to connect with us in a way that allows us to know that His Word has not changed. Who He is has not changed just because the majority now says that God, you can just make Him up. Just get your own recipe book and cook Him up in whichever way. That's the most popular spirituality right now. Make God, make Him who he fits, who you are, how it fits you, and just let that be your God. If it's a tree, it's a tree. If it's a pet, it's a pet. Whatever your God is, just make sure you've got a higher power, and that's all you really need to get through life. That's all I have to say about that. It should be ludicrous enough in its own right for those of us that know truth and have a relationship with the man who is called truth and who represents for us the ultimate protective spirit that we can ever have. There is no stronger person to run to than the Savior who came to earth and gave His life for us. Every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, in the beginning, we were created in God's image. We were made in the likeness of God. We were created. We were not born. We were created. We were shaped out of dust. The Genesis account is very clear. He formed the dust into the shape of us, and then he breathed into us his breath. It was not a reproductive thing. It was simply God breathed into something he had made in his image, in his likeness. And so therefore, we bear his image. We bear his mark. We look like God. If you want to know what God looks like, he looks like us. Man was made in his image. In the very likeness of man, of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. We represent, male and female, we represent the best visual you're going to get of God is by looking around. Why do you think the church is the body of Christ? It's not some compromised, dumbed down thing. It's actually the best representation, the most accurate that God could come up with. Amen. What better way than to get a few hundred thousands and millions of all of them that are made in our image to come together into one glorious image? That's the best way that he can represent himself to the unsaved on planet Earth is through us. Because we look like him. He made us in his image. When we speak truth, the truth that he's given us, we sound like him. Yes. Prophecy is just speaking out in people's hearing what God has said through his word to be true. Amen. That's what it is. It's speaking forth what he knows about life. And moms seem to have this way of understanding what it's really all supposed to be about. If you really sit down with your mom, they're gonna explain things to you that life's not about the peripheral stuff that everybody's chasing. It's something deeper than that. Every mom will try to get you to look inside you to see just how precious and valuable you really are, because they understand the value that we carry is the value of the image of Jesus Christ, of our Heavenly Father, of the Holy Spirit who came together and said, "Let us make man in our image." We are the best representation, and I believe moms represent a part of who God is that we dare not ignore. Because there's something in a mom's heart that always wants us to be together, wants us to be safe, and understands the value of our lives. There's an advertisement that just, I won't even mention the name, because I'll probably get sued or something. It makes my blood boil. It's talking about just turning back time on how you can turn your TV back and watch whatever the channels you missed and the shows that you missed. And it says, oh, maybe we could turn back time and reconsider having that second kid. Man, I just tell you, it makes my heart want to just jump out of my chest. It's so, and you see this kid color on the wall and he just disappears. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Man. I've only seen it for about a week. That's why I'm still in my skin. But this is the foolishness of a generation that's still just kids. They're in their 30s and 40s, but they're just overgrown kids. They've never matured. They don't understand value. They don't understand that it's not just a choice. Oh, should we have another one or not? And maybe we should reconsider. And then when they see that the kid disappears because he was coloring on the wall and being a bad little 3 or 4 year old, whatever he was doing, all of a sudden they get this look of, nice. Now we can watch more TV. Now we can catch the shows that we want without interruption. Folks, we got to get our heads on straight. They are teaching us and programming us that life is just an accident, and if there's too many of us, that's actually a negative thing. God's saying, fill the earth, plenish the earth, fill it up and multiply, be fruitful and multiply, take dominion over the earth. That's the mandate he gave those made in his image. This isn't about let's just try to filter us out and try to feel guilty about if we have too many kids. You kidding me? You look at the people that are taking over the world, they have an average of close to 8 children per couple. And we wonder why. America, the whole globe will eventually be Islamic. It has to happen. There's no other way around it. We're hovering around 2. And a country, a nation can't sustain under 2.2 average children per couple. Can't. I know there's infertility. I know there's a lot of things. There's a lot of pain that comes on Mother's Day because people have tried to conceive and couldn't. And we just know that God has a purpose for us to be fruitful and to multiply. That's the mandate that was given to us. And so if you've got... You know, and it's not about feeling guilty. If you've got 2 and that's where God has shown you to stop, then you should stop there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Everyone has a grace given, but the devaluation that they're trying to bring towards children to make us think that it's actually better if we have less is disgraceful. It's a spit in the face of God, who created life, who created humans to reign and to rule on this planet in justice, in love, and in mercy the way that he has demonstrated his ability to do it. And I just want us to I just want to highlight those few things this morning. Moms understand the value of human life. We saw the video. Moms understand that it's okay to shed a tear for your child because the time you're investing in them is priceless. It's not just a chore that you check off your list so that you can go back with life the way you want to live it. It's a priceless treasure and a gift to be able to shepherd, to raise up, and to reproduce the next generation. I'm going to read a quick story. In the book of Mark, Because it just shows how Mary was so committed to the process of raising Jesus. And Mary wasn't perfect. She didn't get it right all the time. You know, don't think because I'm not a perfect mom that somehow I shouldn't be celebrated. You know, that's another blasted lie of this culture. Unless you're perfect, don't talk to me about anything. Till you can walk on water, I don't want to hear what church you go to. Really? What kind of hypocrisy is that? What kind of hypocrisy is that? They can't see it. This isn't about living the life perfectly. Well, listen, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to say we're going to do one thing and do something else because we're still human. There's a part of us that's maturing out of childhood into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. There's a process, but when we're committed to the process and the Holy Spirit through the church is committed to the process of our maturity, we find ourselves growing towards something. In Mark chapter 3, this is a case where Mary just got it wrong. We'll start in verse 21, and we're just going to read quickly through this. But when his own people heard about this, his own people, meaning his family, heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. What did they heard about? That he's in a house so packed full of people. People are gathering around. They can't even get food into these guys because Jesus is in the house and it's so packed because he's teaching in there. And the whole community is like, this is just wrong. Why should the whole community gather around one person? This guy's obviously twisted. Something's obviously wrong with this man. His own family said he's out of his mind. The scribes, the religious leaders, took it a step further and they came down from Jerusalem and they said he has Beelzebub, which is the devil. He's demon possessed. His family says he's out of his mind, including his mom. The religious leadership of the day said he's got a devil. He has the devil, Beelzebub. And by the ruler of the demons, he's casting out demons. So they completely demonized Jesus, right? And his own mom buys into this. Because look in verse 31, chapter 3, verse 31. It says, then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside the house, they sent to him. They didn't want to try to press their way in. Maybe they didn't want to be seen with him. Who knows? They sent someone in, calling to him, and a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat around him, and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus came to start a different family. When you are born again, you join a family that's not limited by what's on your birth certificate. It goes way beyond that. Jesus is prophesying here already that what he was about to do through his sacrificial death, the communion we're about to celebrate together, what he was doing in that moment was inviting a whole planet full of people, all who would believe. Jesus said, all who do the will of my Father, all who hear his voice and follow it, these are the ones. Whoever does the will, they're my brother, my sister, and my mother. Who was Mary? She was just a woman that God chose. She didn't say, Lord, please use me, I've seen the prophecy, I know it's going to happen, just use me, I want to be used. No, it doesn't say anything like that. God looked around and said, she'll do. They've made her into God, her himself. It's not actually what the Bible has anything to say about. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you can all be my mother, you can all be my brother, you can all be my sister. Just do the will of the one who sent me. When we all have the same dad, we all become of the same family. Jesus didn't say, look, you can be, he said, my mother, my brother, my sister, not my father. The father was not up for grabs. That was God. But you can have access to the same relationship that Jesus had with his own mom and his own brothers and sisters by believing in the same father and by doing his will. The same thing happens at the cross. The same thing happens. He looks down. Let me see if I have it here. Because Mary was just a person. What does she do, though, when the angel came to her? Let it be done to me according to your word. That's what Jesus was saying. The only thing special about Mary was that when she had an opportunity, she said, yes, Lord, as you will, let it be done. That's what Jesus just said. As long as that's in your heart, yes, Lord, whatever you have for my life, I want to follow you. I choose to submit my life to you. I want to do your will. When that's your heart and that's your response to the Holy Spirit, you become brothers, sisters, mother. Imagine being in that circle and Jesus looking around and like, there's some women in there. You're my mom. It's not her. You're as much my mom. Did the Lord speak to you? And are you coming close to me because you believe that's the will of God? You're my mom. We're all on the same field together. We're all in the same family together. It's a beautiful thing, but at the cross. Wow, I was sure I had that one. Okay, John 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus is serious about this. If you're willing to do what his word says, if you're willing to follow him, we all enter into. Mary's not on a pedestal. Jesus didn't put her there. Because of what I'm doing, because of the new blood that I'm introducing into this line on planet Earth, there's going to be a new family that's birthed. And they're all going to share the blood of my Heavenly Father. And they're all going to be united. They're all going to become one. And he's looking for that day when we truly unite to that degree, where we are one family, where we are one voice, where we are one force to be reckoned with in the community. Not because we're more dominating and because we're just in there to bully everybody out of the way, but because we're coming in to submit and obey the voice of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, "I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it." And he was God. God's not proud. He's a humble, loving Father and God. And he just wants us to come in line with what his will is. When we do that, we're going to see amazing things happen. So, Pastor Rich, come on up and you need this? Okay, I'm going to stick this over here. Pastor Rich is going to just lead us in a time of communion with the help of our Ignite group.
This needs to be turned on. Praise the Lord. It says in Hebrews, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." I actually find that to be a contradiction. How could Jesus possibly focus on joy if he had a gruesome death that he foreknew right in his face? He must have had some other perspective or vision that was given to him by the Holy Spirit to be able to go through that experience with joy. The cat of nine tails was a whip of 9 lashes with sharp objects on the end that would literally tear his flesh. And he spent 3 hours on that cross. And the most important thing, or the most gruesome thing for him, was a separation from God. So how could you be faced with that and still see joy? Well, you see, he had an eternal perspective. He could see the goal, forgetting what is behind and pressing on to the goal set before you in Christ Jesus. And he had his eyes in the future. And you see, 12 years ago, I noticed that the signs were getting blurrier and blurrier. And if I went to the movie theater, I would be doing this and it would almost give me a headache. So I went to the eye doctor. Yeah, you need glasses. And so I bought this pair of glasses. And now everything was crystal clear in the distance. And yet if I went to a play and go to look at the program, it was a blur. And I'd have to take these glasses off. You see, we've been given the opportunity or the ability to be able to see by vision, by the Holy Spirit, to a perspective of eternity. What we see is temporary, but what we is unseen is permanent or eternal. So now I've got my eternal vision glasses on. And I can see the goal. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. I just don't know how it's going to be possible. Thank you, Father. You said in your word that you'll provide for me. And together we're going to see this bill be gone. The doctor has given me a bad report. Thank you, Father, that you've given me an opportunity by the sacrifice that Jesus made and by the stripes he took, I'm healed. And regardless of any way I go, I've got you, Father, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made in my life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. As we prepare to come to the communion table, I'm challenging each and every one of you to decide today that you're going to wear your eternal perspective vision glasses on. And if you have difficulty with that, what's the first thing you should do? Keep your eyes focused, keep your life focused, but ask Him. Because our Father's not going to give us a stone when we ask for bread. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit in measure that we can't even imagine with our own minds.